Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
You know what's crazy?
What?
Think about this. We're sitting here right now in this room.
And it's episode 194 of the Super Megacast.
Yeah, and it is episode 194 of the Super Megacast, but we're speaking in our, ready for this? Are the vibrations, so we have a thought, right?
Yeah.
The thought then comes out via vibrations, via our voice.
Because our brain signals are like
vocal cords and tongue and mouth.
Everything to generate these words which it thought of.
Then it goes into this microphone, and that data travels down this little cable, down there, into the mixer, and it converts
then
it
through the
data.
USB.
Yeah.
Into the computer.
Into the computer, which then it's data at that point. And then that data.
The computer's saying something. Hold up.
What?
I know. Hold up.
Is he giving us?
Cross this one off your list. Windows is a service, and updates are normal.
Tell that little bitch not to update.
Remind me tomorrow. Okay.
Anyway, that goes into the computer. Then we have to send it over to be edited on our other computers. So we send it up to a fucking satellite and back down. Down to a satellite, and then we edit it, and then we send it back up to a satellite. And then it hits servers, which are stored somewhere, which then sends it across satellites and hundreds of thousands of people's devices. And then, so our voice is traveling quite a large distance across this.
Was that simply just to explain that basically you extrapolated from the simple phrase, our podcast releases on a certain day of the week and is listened to by like a lot of people or whatever.
Well, just the process of,
so
like,
you went is like, so our voice travels into the microphone, which goes into the mixer, which
I was thinking about the physical movement of everything.
I thought you were just taking some weird route, like long roundabout way to like just say, yeah, a lot of people listen to our podcast.
And the crazy thing is like,
it's like if
our voices are going up into space and back down, like,
like the data is for sure. I'm not sure our voice.
What's our voice? The data is our voice.
I mean, yeah.
It's insane, dude.
We're echoing through space.
Like, you're sitting in your 747 flying across the country. Our voice will fly right by your window.
That's why we're trying to figure out and try to find other radio waves. You know?
Oh, someone's talking to us. We should send our podcast into deep space. We should, like, get one of those big...
Create a super mega capsule.
No, not even like launch into space. Get like a radio tower that just shoots a feed of our podcast into deep space. So maybe 200,000 years from now, some advanced civilization will detect
it. How expensive do you reckon that would be to get a device that would shoot our podcast into deep space? Because space is so big that deep space is unfathomable for me to think of.
I think maybe a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get like a big, you can get a satellite.
Just 5 miles into space should cover us.
There's a satellite on top of my house that I've never used. I guess it's from like the people that used to live there. We can just take that and point it. It's already pointed at space.
Yeah.
Just, we can rig it up and just,
yeah, just
put some tinfoil on it so it goes farther, you know?
How about we turn our podcast into like our sound waves into light molecules? That way it'll travel faster.
Ooh. Yeah, like way faster than just the.
And they'll see what we're saying instead of just hearing it.
They can actually see the podcast.
Yeah.
It'll be beautiful. God damn. Well, 194. 194, the big number you guys have all been waiting for.
Yeah.
This is the one that we've hyped up for years now. I've said, wait until episode 194, guys. It's going to be some big shit. And here we are.
The crazy thing about 194, you flip one of the numbers in there. It's 164. And if those remember 164 of the podcast, that was a crazy time.
Crazy one. Same if you do 149. What a crazy episode that was.
Yeah.
The one right before 150. It's
ridiculous.
God
it was
damn.
Almost like the right before. It was like on the precipice before a new era.
When people say, I'm listening back from the very beginning of the podcast, it makes me cringe a little bit. I'm like, oh man, those early episodes, like, I feel like I was so unfunny and just.
Oh, I feel like that's gonna, like, imagine if we're still doing this 5 years from now, we're gonna be looking at like this episode
and yeah.
be like, yeah, yikes, goinks, goinks. That's the new.
Can people hear our humor change? I wonder, like, from episode, because I saw someone recently. I think that they're a trucker or something, and they said that they listened to, it took them 3 months, but they listened from episode one.
It wasn't the guy who was overseas or whatever in the military? Because there was someone on our subreddit that was like, hey, I'm an active duty, and because of COVID, I've been stuck on this ship.
Duty.
Yeah. I've been stuck on this ship, and your podcast I listen to every morning or something. I was like, oh, that's super sweet. Glad we could help a manly man.
Help a macho man. Macho man out in the Navy on a big ship with his muscular hunk brothers. Pumping iron.
With his big guns and his big cock and his big brothers.
You know he's got a big cock. That guy's on a ship in the middle of the ocean right now just doing military shit and hanging out with nothing but dudes. So bravo to you. Thank you for listening. And I can't believe you listened to all 190-something episodes. That's dedication. I couldn't do that even
if I
loved the
podcast. Was there a trucker that you were talking about?
Yeah, there was someone that said it took them 3 months, but they got all the episodes.
Like, oh, now they don't really have any content. They can listen to our Let's Plays without watching them.
Well, they've actually lost the meaning of life now.
Fuck.
Because for 3 months, they were at the highest they've ever been, and now they just have absolutely nothing in their life.
I remember back in the day when I was going through much turmoil in my life, the only thing that could save me was watching someone play a game in a way that I disagreed with, but still laughing at the jokes they made. It really brought a tear to my eye and showed me that life is more than what I thought it was.
I actually feel that way a little bit. Not what you just said. Not about the gaming stuff.
While you watch Let's Plays?
No, not about Let's Plays, but I've been binging 90 Day Fiancé, and now that I'm all I caught up 2 days ago, and now that I'm all caught up, I just keep having this feeling where I'm like, oh man, I have to wait, and I just feel like I finally found something during quarantine that made me like really excited, and I was having a good time watching it. It's the new season with Big Ed and everything,
but his story's almost closed, or this is closed.
I'm not sure.
What about Baby Janine or whatever her name is?
Baby Lisa, dude.
Baby Lisa.
Where'd you get Janine from?
I don't know. It's a girl's name.
Lisa.
You knew
Baby
exactly
Lisa.
What I was talking about, so.
Well, that's
you
knew, true. That's
so,
true. Baby Lisa.
I got my point across.
But, you know, I finally had like something to binge because I don't really like binging shows, or it's hard for me to get into shows. And I was like, yeah, I love this. And then now it's all done for now. I got to wait a week now for the next episode. And it's just.
The last trash TV I binged was The Circle. I watched the American Circle, then I watched the Circle Brazil. And a circle. That's how they always do it.
I love when a
circle.
They take like a TV show and syndicate it to another country. So
well, I think
have,
it started
like,
out in like before the U.S. I thought it was in like France and Brazil possibly, and then the U.S. I don't know. I thought the U.S. one was a little more new.
When are we getting like super mega Brazil?
Maybe I'm wrong.
Or like super mega Mexico.
Like Smosh Espanol.
Oh, El Smosh?
Shut up cartoons.
Dude. What about El Smosh?
El
they have a French one too where someone just dubs all the Smosh videos. I mean, that's very smart because there's a huge audience for in like Latin American countries.
Why not Chinese super mega? We already have that guy that does the laughs.
Well, he's Japanese.
Oh, well, never mind.
We could do Japanese Super
Mega. We could do Japanese Super Mega.
If we did Chinese Super Mega.
I was really hoping it was Chinese because then we could get into the Chinese market, which is with billions of millions of dollars.
I imagine if you took all of our content from the very beginning and then they had to translate it to Chinese, the amount of stuff that would be censored out would probably leave you with maybe like a 5-minute video.
Would you talk about their president sometimes?
Their supreme
I think we
leader.
Called him Pooh Bear at one point.
A lot of people call him Pooh Bear. You get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they gonna do? Ban my TikTok account?
They could send someone over here to knock to on your door, like, hey, I'm here to do your lights, your electrical. I'm the electrician your landlord called, and then you're like, all right, just come on in. And then he comes in and he throws a hatchet into your neck.
Do you think the Chinese government is more than capable of, in secret, without being found out, assassinating you or I without a trace of evidence for Probably. Our government or anybody else to follow?
Probably.
Hmm. It makes you wonder how many times that's happened then, huh?
It does. It's freaky. Like, I'm sure that happens on American soil. I mean, it happens to probably every country. Like, they'll send people from other countries that will just slip under the radar and do something for their government and then go back. They never get caught.
Oops, coronavirus is bad. Never mind. He didn't say it. He said coronavirus was epic.
Coronavirus is pretty epic.
That's my interpretation of the Chinese government.
Oops.
It's just weird because sometimes I feel like when you criticize a government, the people take it as you're criticizing the people. Like when you criticize, like when the American government is criticized, you see a lot of Americans going, why do you hate Americans so much?
Same way as like if you were to, you know, talk about the Chinese government or talk about any other form of government, it's like, what do you have against the Chinese, brother? Huh?
Here, I'll say this. Chinese people, very epic. Chinese government, not very epic.
See, it's very simple. Yeah. Very simple. Very,
it's that simple. The Chinese people, very epic. Very epic.
Some of them are not epic. Some of them are murderers, are pedophiles, just like Americans. But
nope.
I
not in America.
I,
none
I don't
of that.
I don't want to defend the criminals of each region, but
the good people are epic. The good Chinese
then
people.
What's good? What do you deem is good?
Oh, I'm pretty sure molesting children is not good.
By our Western values, molesting. Isn't there
the only podcast for MAPS, Super Megacast?
I'm sure there are cultures out there that celebrate young boy love, and it's just a part of their culture.
My dad was trying to tell me, he's like,
you know, I just got into this young boy love.
No. Son, I've actually discovered something recently.
Oh, God.
No, my dad was trying to tell me, he's like, you know, son, they're already starting the movement for grown men and young boys to be accepted. Have you heard of NAMBLA? And I'm like, who the fuck takes NAMBLA
MAPS
seriously?
MAPS is another one, right?
MAPS, yeah. Well, MAPS is a minor attracted person, which is, I guess, that subsect of Twitter that's like, yeah, we're pedophiles, but it's okay. We're not ever going to do anything about it. We just want to be accepted, normalized. It's like, bro.
You know how some people are attracted to elderly women and elderly people? I'm attracted to the exact opposite. Whoops.
And people put it in their bios.
It might be against the law, I guess, but who knows? I'm having fun.
Yeah, I'm a map. So what?
No context.
Oh, my God. Just cut that out of context. Like, the only podcast for MAPS.
Hey guys, we just wanted to say we support MAPS in any god.
Looking back on Dora the Sun's like, I'm the map. It's like, oh, okay, bro.
Philly, what's up, you beautiful bastards? Today we are talking about Ryan McGee and Matt Watson of a channel formerly known as Markiplier Game. I mean Super Mega.
Mapapply.
Mapapply.
Mapsepticeye. How about that one?
MAPS Films.
Map Mofo. Maps Mofo.
Map Gundacker.
There's a lot of good ones out there. It's very easy to actually do it. Map Watson. Boom, there it is.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that one to catch on.
Ryan Mamap, you know?
Ryan Mapgee.
Mapgee. There, that's even better. That's even better.
There's a shit. Wow, I didn't realize it was that easy. We're starting a new club. It's called the Most Awesome People Club.
Ninja the Map? You can't really, you know, map his name, so I had to fit it in there. Yeah. We are in no way saying any of these people are maps. But who's to say they aren't?
They spilled the beans.
They've never defended themselves, so how are we supposed to know? They've never not said that they weren't.
Map grumps.
Could you imagine someone is like, starts an argument with, my friend Matt's a pedophile. Wait, what? Matt's a pedophile? He's never said it explicitly, but he's never not said it. So
that's true. It's true.
Think about that logic.
Lord Map 777.
Oh my God.
It's too easy, man. For us, it's Super Map. God, why is that a
good
thing?
Shit.
Like, it's like, My favorite ones are the people that try to include P in LGBT, where it's like LGBTP.
What part of that?
Yeah.
It's like, bro,
no.
What are the stems? What is file? What is the stem for file? Pet, of course.
A lover. Like a,
is it?
Someone that's attracted to something. That's why.
So child lover.
Yes. If you love music, you're an audiophile.
Cinephile.
Cinephile. You love film. Pedophile. You love children.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing.
So a lot of people who work in daycare could self-describe themselves as pedophiles.
Technically, yeah.
I love children.
Yeah, I'm a pedophile. I love children. No, not like that.
No, I'm trying to reclaim the word pedophile.
Some guy that works at a daycare. Yeah, so my name is Jake. I work at a daycare, and I am a pedophile. No, not like that. I love children. I want to reclaim that word for the innocent people who just love children, and not in a weird way. You
in
know?
Fact, we have a famous guest here to speak today. Unfortunately, he's only able to come through Skype. Jordan Peterson, what do you think of this recent situation?
So now in daycare centers, you can't touch the kids. It's like, what the hell?
Thank you, Mr. Peterson.
Thank you.
Very valid point right there. That's Jerry Seinfeld.
Because he did actually used to work in daycare.
Jordan Peterson?
Yeah. He used to work at a daycare center.
I'm thinking about quitting Superman and just going to go work at a daycare.
I'm not.
Okay, well, that's your choice. That's your decision.
Have fun with that.
I will. I love children. I'm going to be done. I'm done giving people sound bites to snip out without context.
Yeah. I only did that with Jordan because it was too good of a... I had to snip it. I was listening to this little lecture of his. I was listening to him talk, and I heard that, and I went, whoop, meme time.
Oh. Just like... forgot what I was saying. I was taking a sip of my Starbucks peach green tea, and it just washed
looks like
my
watered down piss.
It does look like watered down piss. Well, no, actually, no, it doesn't. That looks like really concentrated piss. That's like, if your piss is that dark, then you gotta hydrate. That's some dark piss.
Yeah, but you've seen piss worse than that. Have you seen like the dark yellow, like where it looks kind of like kind of old, crusty, mellow yellow?
I've seen Tom Pearl's videos, Ryan.
Yeah,
trust me.
Like you also have a.
No, I don't.
You don't want to talk about that?
I don't want to talk about that.
Why don't you want to talk about it?
Because the things that go on in my house are to stay within
the
family.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting, and I think everybody else would think it was interesting.
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
I think we're good. I don't think when you're talking about any piss-related bags in my house.
Well, now I guess, unfortunately, you know, people are just going to have to guess what it is, and it's up to their brain.
I guess they.
It's all perfectly valid.
I promise it's not a tank of piss I'm storing in my house that I've been slowly filling up for the last 2 years.
He is right. It's not a tank. It's a bag.
No. It's a container.
It's a container.
It's one of those plastic storage bins.
Has it separated yet?
Yes, it has. It's one of those plastic storage bins.
So what separates?
I don't know. Okay, I guess I'll tell it now because Ryan has twisted my wrist. There is none of the piss is mine.
It's all Harrison's.
Yes,
Harrison. The when you think of Harrison, the first image is like very artful guy who loves wine and is really good at cooking and really enjoys French cinema. Continue.
Well, see, I ordered Popeyes one night and I was like, "Damn, I'm gonna get a. They have a. I can just get a gallon of sweet tea." So I got a bag. It comes in a bag, like a plastic. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a not
looks
like a trash
a giant bag. IV bag with the Popeyes logo on it.
Exactly. With a screw on top. And I bet Harrison, I said, I bet you can't fill this whole thing with piss. I was the one that birthed this whole thing. He said, watch me. And within a couple days, he had filled it with piss. And we were going to throw it away. And then I said, wait a second. Like Harrison was like, this is disgusting. I'm going to throw it away. I was like, wait. How rare is it to have a bag of piss like this, like that's sealed off, just a perfect bag of piss? What can, like, we can do something with this. We can, you know, so now it's kind of become a science experiment where we've set it aside and we just want to see how long, like what happens to piss after a long time. I just, so many people listening are like, what the fuck?
So what has happened? Well, you should have given this piss to that channel that you like so much, the time lapse channel.
See, I'm trying to do that myself right now.
Do you have a time-lapse camera set up for the next?
No, I just have been using my brain. But
it's very dark.
It's changed colors. It's actually becoming the color of the Popeyes orange on the bag.
My favorite part is when you told Carson, the youngest Tucker brother, you told Carson that Harrison was making a wine.
Yes, so Carson had just come back from the airport after being gone for like a month and a half. And he sees the bag and he's like, what's that? And Harrison's like, oh yeah, I'm making plum wine. Check this out. Like, smell it. And we open it up and he goes, oh, what? Whoa. And we're like, yeah, that's piss.
And you smelled it and you started gagging.
Yeah, I did.
You said it. I haven't smelled it.
It filled the room.
You said I would not be able to handle it.
Because you know how my gag reflex is. My tolerance for what makes me gag.
It's very high.
And yours is very low. And if that made me gag, like horribly,
I'd throw up instantly.
Yeah, yeah. It's really bad.
Because the piss stays in your throat, I'm sure, in your nostrils.
So when you smell something, like, is that actually like physical particles or is it just some kind of stimulation?
I mean, the particles are traveling. That's what smell is, right?
So is it actually like the physical particles of whatever you're smelling? So let's
say, I feel like in this case it would be. It would be different to say if like you were, I don't know.
What is smell?
Because when you're cooking a steak and you smell it from like 5 yards away, you're definitely smelling that steak.
Well, think about it. Because when you're cooking steak, the little tiny particles from let's say
you're cooking it off
the grill. Yeah, it's being cooked off. Like the bits of moisture going up in the air and floating away.
Well, I think of a restaurant. You know, when you're out in the streets of LA or wherever. Is busy and has food. You smell the delicious food. You're like, fuck, what is that? What is like at the most basic form? What is smell?
Okay.
Is it the carrying of microscopic particles of a certain thing, thus giving us information?
It's crazy, actually, because when you think about the senses, you are unable to describe any of them. Like if you had to describe them to someone that didn't have it, like if someone that was born without a sense of smell, how would you be able to describe smell? Like, taste through your...
Because smell is very linked to taste. I mean, isn't it? It's one of the big factors.
But even hearing or seeing, like, if someone didn't have that, you couldn't explain that to them. So that makes me wonder, like, kind of on the last podcast note, like, how many things exist or just are out there that we can't comprehend. Mm-hmm. Here we go. I'll tell you what it is. The perception of odors or sense of smell is mediated by the olfactory nerve. The olfactory receptor, OR, cells are neurons present in the olfactory, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, which is a small patch of tissue at the back of the nasal cavity.
There are millions. It helps us smell, but like, what are we smelling? Like,
here we go. There are millions of OR neurons that act as sensory signaling cells. Each neuron has cilia. So cilia are like those little hairs. In direct contact with the air, odorous molecules bind to receptor proteins extending from cilia and act as a chemical stimulus, initiating electric signals that travel along the nerve's axons to the brain.
All right.
So when an electrical signal reaches a threshold, the neuron fires, which sends a signal to the brain. But I still want to know, like, is smell, like, is it actually, so they're molecules, but are they like vaporized odor molecules?
Why does something produce a smell? Is that what you're trying to get at? Like when you take a shit, is what
I
you're smelling,
know, yeah, is it actual
is that
shit?
Is that like poop particles entering my nose and that's why I'm smelling it? Like, what creates the aroma? Is that what that's what you're trying to get at?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what's coming from.
Just say, why do things smell?
That's a good one. Hold my phone.
Why do things smell?
Okay, first suggestion is fart smell poop particles. I don't know what happened. I clicked it and it changed my Google search to, is smelt a word? Hold on 1 second. What is?
Well, smell at the base of it is just chemical reactions, right?
Right. So I'm wondering,
gases.
Is it just basic, like you're not actually smelling, it's not actually particles of that, but it's more of like the organic compound stimulating the nerves in a certain way to make your brain react to that thing, you know?
Yeah.
You ever thought about like, is smell the same for everyone or like, color? Because you know that whole thing where it's like, what if your blue is my red, but that's just your normal?
I see, here's the thing, like, I don't feel like it's as extravagant it's as different as my blue is your red. I feel like we do, unless you're colorblind, see all colors kind of pretty much the same. But I mean, it comes down to really just like us as humans. We build preferences for no reason, right? Like, I mean, you have your reasons, but there's no really precise reason why I like blue over another color. It's just like, I do.
That's interesting. I wonder what what is the basis like in your brain for preferences, right? Because you could say your favorite color is blue and I could say my favorite color is green. Wouldn't be able to explain
why. Why does it visually appeal to you? Like, why? How come someone's favorite color is yellow? But I'm like, why would that be your favorite color out of like even above green, red, blue?
Yeah.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Would you say blue is the most common popular color, like favorite color?
Maybe.
In my experience, it seems like it's always blue with people. And I love blue. Blue is a beautiful color.
I feel like it's usually, from what I've garnered, blue, red, green are the three top colors.
Yeah.
And then you'll have the outliers, which will say like purple, black, orange.
Black is, I knew someone that's their favorite color was black, which I get. I mean, black is a cool color.
My favorite colors right now are just any earth tones. Like, you know how there's a, well, greens or blue, just anything.
Like earthy, like clay colors?
Yeah, those. And I think just natural colors I like a lot. Like, so you can say blue. Just anything that, like, is very, I like saturated, I think, more than.
More than like faded?
Yeah.
I've never, ever, ever, ever had a favorite color. I've never been able to make my mind up on what, because every time I think I have a favorite color, I second guess it. I'm like, yeah, but this color's really good too.
When I was a kid, I had like my favorite colors. It switched between like blue and white, I think. Because I liked, I just liked the look of it in like video games when you got to like have, choose your Halo armor in Halo 3.
Yeah.
I'd be like, whoa, all white Halo armor. That looks badass.
Black and white are both very sleek colors.
Yeah. I like black more than white now because I am not a racist.
Exactly. Same
here.
I am
for the black.
Yes. I support black. For a long time, my favorite color, I did have a favorite color in part of elementary school and middle school, which was yellow. But yellow as in not like not like school bus
bright
yellow, but
macaroni,
more like
orange type of,
yeah, kind of like the more golden yellow.
Yeah.
Like
I know what you're talking about,
like a number two pencil. Like that was my favorite color for a very long time, and now as I've gotten older, like I still really like yellow, but it it's funny how colors make you feel emotions.
Yeah,
like it's just a different wavelength of light, but it makes you feel different things. Like that's why fast food restaurants have a lot of red, because red apparently makes
well,
you
red and
hungry.
Yellow.
Yeah, both those colors kind of stimulate that.
Yellow for how fast your eye reacts to that color.
Mm-hmm.
And red because it's been proven to make you hungry.
Which is why school buses are yellow, because it's the first color your brain notices that. And like
that's
orange.
Why it's funny when they hit children.
Exactly. And then it's like, how'd you not see it? And then orange stimulates like adrenaline, I think. So orange gets you kind of like pumped.
Okay.
Purple apparently is supposed to give you more confidence. I've heard that wear purple
but there's,
on a
there's
date.
There's such a big spectrum, right? You can't just like go to someone and like these aren't like abilities in a video game. It's like I cast you can't hold up a purple sheet and all of a sudden it's like
confident. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But these are colors that like I guess subconsciously triggered help. Because I would say that I mean when I grew up like at my dad's house, well, we moved several times, but at the one that I lived in when I was in high school, my room was, the walls were blue and gray, and like the ceiling was kind of grayish or white or whatever. So very cool, calm. At my mom's house, my walls were just red.
Dude.
My bedspread was red and white.
I hate that.
I know.
I had a friend who had a bedroom and the walls were just red. And it gave me anxiety.
I go back to it and I'm like, good Lord, this was a lot. But it's because when I was young, you know, when you're young, you develop obsessions over the most minuscule things. Like I had an obsession with collecting different eras of Coke bottles because there were different, like there are some Coke bottles that were completely spherical in the center, but still long on either end. I just thought it was cool the difference. And so I had a Coke clock. I liked Coke Red. I really liked the because whenever I thought of Coke Red, I just thought of delicious Coke on
ice.
Well,
I love red. Red is one of my favorite colors, but like there's something about being surrounded by it is very like gives me anxiety, I think. Same with like a dark green would give me anxiety.
A dark green would, I feel like, give like sage would make me feel more calm. Like it's in, like I'm in a dark forest.
Here's something interesting. Warm colors and cool colors. When you're in a space where the walls are warm color, you actually feel that the temperature is warmer than you would in a space with cool colors, even though the temperature is the exact same. That's interesting. And we are naturally more drawn to warm colors, apparently, such as reds and oranges. So they're good colors to put at the end of a long hallway to use to draw people towards a particular section of large space. Putting a light color on a wall makes that wall seem a little further away than it actually is, while darker colors make them seem closer to their true position. I guess that's true because if my room, like if this room was painted black, I think it would feel a lot smaller than like if it was painted white.
Yes.
You know? Because I guess like black makes it feel like you're like boxed in.
Well, think about like the difference. The one big difference I can really think about is think of when you and me and Mark and Daniel all lived together. Remember Daniel's room when he had his blinds shut and his windows with the blackout curtains shut? It looked like a small room. You're like, oh, he got the smallest room.
It wasn't, but, though.
No, but when he opened up his windows, like it just felt bigger.
Yeah.
It felt like there was more room to like lay out, even though it's the same shit.
When
it's
I open my blinds in my room feels like it's like I like opening up my windows and blinds because it makes your room feel like just bigger. You know, it's like you have more space to think.
Yeah.
Here's actually a short little list of rigorous research has revealed the special powers of particular colors. And this is an article by Psychology Today, which is a pretty trusted source. They actually just published a thing about Ninja Brian.
Oh, wow.
And how gay he is. All right. Green. Seeing the color green has been linked to more creative thinking. So greens are good options for home, offices, art studios, etc. Red. People see others in front of red backgrounds, generally find those individuals more attractive than when they see them against other colors. So reds are great for a bedroom wall. Having a red surface in view also gives a burst of strength. So reds are a good choice for home gym areas, etc. Seeing red has been linked to impaired analytical reasoning, though, making it a bad option for offices. So I got to make my background of my profile picture red.
Sorry, I just saw something and I just got a little flutter of happiness. I was like, oh, wow, that's super nice. Rockcock 64.
Oh, I love
that. Added us on Twitter talking about, because this is something, you know how you and I have been wanting to do kind of like more live action. So we found a way to kind of like, on a whim, we just decided to do like
film
a mini sketch
for the Let's
for the Resident Evil episode. He was just saying how much he enjoyed that and how it adds, in his words, adds a little pepper to the Let's Plays.
Aw, I love Rockcock. Rockcock is a really sweet dude.
Yeah. Super nice. I don't know. It's just like, I know like I'm. It's weird because I'm making a big deal out of like, oh, he said something nice. And it's like, yeah, but you forget how often Matt and I mostly just see like negativity because that's what sticks out. And so it's nice to see that
one negative comment sticks out more than 100 positive comments.
But that's because we're pussies.
Yeah, exactly. But Rockcock's a really cool dude. Also, it's just weird to me when people that like I actually like and admire watch our stuff.
Because like, because he's a funny fucking dude.
Yeah, so then when I see like he watches us, I'm like, oh, what?
I know.
Let me finish this real quick. Let's see. Violet. People link a grayish violet with sophistication. So it can be a good selection for places where you're trying to make the right impression.
That's good because people use a lot of violet for their weddings and stuff too.
Mm, okay.
Like when I think of a wedding, I think of kind of like a gray and violet color combination.
Yeah, violet, maybe like a... like a powder blue, whites, yeah. Lots of whites. Yellow, using yellow in a home can be problematic. It might say the N-word. Many people dislike the color, so if you have a lot of yellow rooms in your home or a yellow front door, you may be advised to repaint to get the best price for your home.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of yellow walls.
Yeah, I know. Yellow walls feel...
I used to have them, though, because it was on that... You know that vanilla that's more on the tinge of yellow than tan, like white, I guess? You know, French vanilla, yellow,
like
type
kind of like beige.
Yeah,
not beige,
beige,
but
it's
creamy.
Really more on that yellow side,
like a cream.
Those are the walls that I used to have, I think, in my old home, and I just remember
like vanilla.
I have a certain nostalgia link to that yellow with those walls.
Well, it's like warm, and you know, like warm memories. This says yellow is accepted in kitchens a lot because warm colors stimulate appetite. Yeah, yellow in kitchen makes sense, or even a bathroom.
Yeah,
but bathroom, I usually think more like aqua or like mint, or even like a faded color. Blue, and the last one is blue. People are more likely to tell you that blue is their favorite color than any other shade. That makes it a safe choice. Seeing blue also brings thoughts of trustworthiness to mind. Always a good thing. Okay. Interesting.
There's two types of people that when they hear that most people think blue is their favorite color. There's the type of person that will go, good thing I like purple. I'm not a sheep like you blue-loving people. And then there's the people who legitimately like blue and hear that and go, no, I'm not special. Oh, no. Relax. If you like blue, it's fine. There's a reason why blue is loved. It's a great color.
It's a pretty color.
It's a wonderful color.
Okay. I remember this growing up because growing up in South Carolina as a kid, I remember that, like, you know, being gay was especially back when we were growing up was something that was like you would get made fun of for.
You didn't want to be looked at as girly or
yeah.
gay.
And
or
I remember
pussy.
Being told by a lot of guys that purple was the gay color. Like purple was the gay color. And I brought that up to Carson recently and he said he never heard that.
Really?
Do you ever remember hearing that purple was the gay color?
I remember at my school there was a stint where like there was the whole craze of only real men wear pink, and thus out of that, purple was now the gay color. Because like a lot of the jocks would wear like pink polos or
pink
stuff
polos,
like
yeah.
that. But I then like purple pink. Became the gay color.
Why is pink
even though
associated?
Purple is more close, is very closely linked to, I think, what is it? I forget. Oh, well.
Barney.
Yeah.
Barney. Purple is one of my favorite colors. Pink's a nice color. You're wearing a pink shirt right now.
It's Don's art. I want Don to release more like a muscle shirt, or I guess not muscle shirt, tank top merch, because I really like
Don can make bank if he
I really
more
like
shirts.
This shirt. This is one of, I will say this, and Don is not ever going to hear this, and I don't care, but this is honestly probably my favorite shirt I own.
It looks great.
One,
the colors are fantastic.
It adds color, and I barely wear color. It's comfortable as fuck. It looks nice. I like the design of it. It's not too abrasive. It's just like it's just
soft.
A nice shirt.
What and what is okay? This is even
and it's
going,
Cassette Girl, and I
yeah,
love
Cassette
that character
awesome.
Of his.
He should
I want him
Cassette
to do more merch because I really love this shirt, and I'm afraid for the day that it fades fully.
Well, it looks like it's screen printed, maybe, so it's not it has not faded yet.
Yeah.
I have a question.
What
we talked about this in a recent podcast. So you know how like when humans see, for instance, that shirt looks really nice because those colors go together.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes colors go together? Like you can't really explain why, I guess. Same as music, when you hear a certain set of notes form together to make a chord, it sounds pleasing. And everyone can agree if you put three notes together that don't match, it sounds bad. It sounds weird.
Or it's art.
Yeah. But do you think aliens, like if there were another, they would
they come to the same conclusions?
Would music still be the same? Would color combinations in their mind still, obviously they'd be a little bit different.
Are you trying to like, you're asking, is there an unknown yet universal acceptance to certain types of like music or color combinations.
Yeah.
Like, is there without us a an objective way of looking at things to be, I guess, not better, but
more pleasing
to the eye?
Like, would aliens, let's say an advanced alien race exists, would they find the same set of color combinations that humans find pleasing? Would they find the same?
Maybe not, because the way that evolution took their quote-unquote alien race has led them and their brains to not recognize red as hunger or not recognize these colors as certain things. Subconsciously, their culture and everything surrounding, like,
that's true,
that stuff would be different.
Or their eyes could have evolved differently, so they see color differently.
Yeah.
And I wonder if...
because there are colors we don't see.
I feel like music...
There are colors that fish see that we can't see, right? Fish can see better than we can.
There are colors that exist that we cannot see. And that blows my mind. Like, what would that look like?
But I think when we think of colors that we can't see, are we thinking of, like, another primary? Like, when you think of red, blue, green, orange, you know, those main colors. Is there another one of those? Or the colors that we can't see, or are they just a certain hue of a color that our eyes can't pick up?
It's actually, I'm pretty sure that infrared and ultraviolet, I think, are both colors. Let me see this real quick.
Like when you put something in negative?
No, like infrared.
Like that color?
Infrared is, okay, hold on. Red, green, and yellow, blue are so-called forbidden colors.
I thought
colors.
Infrared was, is it not based on heat?
Well, no, infrared, think about, like, there's waveforms, and colors are different lengths of waveforms. There's ones that our eyes can't see but are still outside of the realm of what we can see. And I'm pretty sure infrared and ultraviolet are both. Let me see. Hold on. Try to imagine reddish green, not the dull brown you get when you mix the two pigments together, but rather a color that is somewhat like red and somewhat like green. Or instead, try to picture yellowish blue, not green, but a hue similar to both yellow and blue. Is your mind drawing a blank? That's because even though those colors exist, you've probably never seen them. Red, green, and yellow, blue are so-called forbidden colors composed of pairs of hues whose light frequencies automatically cancel each other out in the human eye. They're supposed to be impossible to see simultaneously, yet they exist. Hmm. Interesting. It's because the cells in your retina, called the opponent neurons, fire when stimulated by incoming red light, and this flurry of activity tells the brain we're looking at something red. Those same opponent neurons are inhibited by green light, and the absence of activity tells the brain we're seeing green. Interesting. I remember when I was a kid, I was like, when I go to heaven, I want to see colors that I've never seen.
I mean, it could be heaven, you know, you never know.
I wonder if we'll ever be able to advance technology enough where, like, they can replace our eyes with, like, one that could see more colors.
No, well, that is actually a topic that is very interesting that you bring it up, because you're thinking of just the eye, but I don't mean to word it like that, because that just means that you're not thinking of it in the larger scheme. What I mean is there is actual discussion of, well, when will bionic limbs just be better than regular legs or arms? And will rich people or will people at a certain point in the future end up buying, quote unquote, fake limbs or eyes or things that work better and last longer? Because what we have is you have to, like, maintain it. You have to do certain things to keep them to a certain strength or looking a certain way, or you can't possibly achieve the speed with your regular legs that you could with these new bionic legs.
Yeah, basically, like, upgrading your body to more superior parts. And one thing I never hear talked about anymore that was a big debate in the mid-2000s is stem cells. Like, do you ever hear about stem cells anymore?
Every now and then, because it's still just... I've heard a lot of good things about
stem cells are like it's like a miracle. Like, yes. It's incredible. You can grow...
It's like the closest thing to a medical miracle we have to see with our own
eyes. You can essentially, like, regrow a limb, or let's say that, like, your kidney fails or your heart fails, you can essentially, like, your body can repair it essentially with these cells, because stem cells, if I'm correct, stem cells are basically like the root cell that can grow into kind of anything in the human body, and they come from embryos. And then the big debate is they're illegal because it's like, oh, well, that's a human life, that's, you know.
Yeah.
But what if stem cells are illegal? Because
but stem cells are being used. Rich people use stem cells in like these test things, don't they?
I think so. But I guess just in general, like, let's say there's a kid, because they say that, like, if you're blind, you could see again, hypothetically, with stem cells. Like, if a kid...
Because it literally repairs the structural imbalance that was created.
It's like it's you're regrowing that, like your body is recreating what went wrong. And I wonder, what if they're actually illegal because the people realize they're too powerful? Because they could do anything with their bodies. They could become superhuman. I wonder if in our lifetime, if like genetic modifications are going to start becoming like a center of debate, you know, like for instance, designer babies, that's already been a thing of debate, like in China.
Why does it always go to fucking babies? Why do we always have to mess with children, dude?
Because I don't think people see them as having, because I guess they don't have a say in it and they're not going to care is what people think. But in China, there's the whole thing about designer babies, right?
Not saying that that argument's true, but the way that people are thinking about it is, I guess that's true.
Because
I don't agree with it. Essentially, they're... Maybe I'm thinking of it wrong, and I'm thinking about it in a more abusive way than is intended. But what China's doing, it's essentially like a character customizer, except it's like, I want my baby to have these eyes, and I want my baby to have this hair, and I want my baby to have this and that.
Yes, and so here's the definition. A designer baby is a baby whose genetic makeup has been selected or altered, often to include a particular gene and to remove genes associated with disease. Now, in that case, I'm all for that. If you're actually doing something to remove genes associated with disease, that's great, because I guess hypothetically you could begin to eradicate certain diseases from existence.
But that's the next move, right? Is test tube babies.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Rory.
And I'm Maul.
And we're the hosts of the new Rory and Maul podcast.
That's right.
I know you're probably listening to a podcast that you actually like right now, and we just interrupted it with an ad.
That's all right. We're here.
And I appreciate if you didn't hit the 15-second skip button.
Listen to our show where we cover topics like music, movies,
yes,
TV shows, which we love to binge watch.
Of course. Just lifestyle stuff.
And give out crazy stories about our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
Check us out on the new Rory Maul podcast. Listen to wherever you get your podcast and let us know how you're feeling about our show.
And once you're done listening to this podcast that you actually like, maybe you could check us out.
Yeah.
Then in the future, why would we, why would women want to go through the intensive care and labor of birthing a child when they could easily create an artificial womb that baby could live in? You know, in the future, are things just going to be, we're just producing babies now? Is it going to be
like a factory?
Like, are you going to be able to just go adopt a baby? Like, you
or like build your own from a plan and you don't even have to give birth. It's like, you can like, you give them your, like a couple will give their sperm and egg, and then they can just basically design it. And then
they have a little camera. You can check on your artificial womb.
I think once that happens, that's when we're in like the next level of humanity, you know, in the sense of like evolution. Like, I think when we hit space, that was one level, and like the internet was another level. And I think once people can actually like genetically modify their child before it's born, that's like another level of, which is scary though, because what happens if, I've talked
about this. You have a tyrannical regime that takes a hold of that type of technology when you talk about, we're only think of a racist with that technology. Hey, no more Asian babies allowed. Asian babies are off limits, against the law to make in America. That, like, that type of shit.
Yeah, but what's also scary is, I talked about this with Ross, is once there's generations of these more perfect humans, because I guess like by design, if they're designed, like they are more perfect than a regular human. They lack a lot of like genetic flaws that humans, regular humans that are just born via sex would have. And what happens if like they come together and they're like, we are the superior humans and these are like flawed humans?
But they still share the same flaw as the other humans. I think arrogance is the biggest flaw, right?
Yeah, but you can't get rid of that with a gene.
No, that's what I'm saying. They still do have flaws. That would be their ego.
Right. And they still do have flaws, but like genetically, if
like, they are, like there would be like this would be like a new race.
Yeah, they have like stronger muscles, better eyesight, less, you know, like they're resistant to all these like diseases and viruses.
Essentially they would start kind of like, think of one of them having a political rally and saying all of these regular humans are spreading diseases.
They're holding us back.
Yeah, they're holding us back. They're spawning these new diseases that we can't keep up with while our genes are 100% not going to build up a disease over time. These humans are incubating these diseases and making life worse for our livestock. Maybe it's not even livestock anymore, because if humans are fake, livestock would be fake. We already have fake livestock.
Because, yeah, this already happens with plants and livestock. Mm-hmm. Cows are genetically engineered chickens to be bigger, to produce more meat, to grow faster than they already do. Like, same with, like, GMOs.
I guess that's more of an abusive, though. Like, that. Do they genetically change the chickens before they're born?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's not.
Because I felt it was like much more of like overfeeding them and filling them with certain chemicals and shit that, like, they're essentially building up these perfect chickens and then selectively breeding them to create their chickens that they want to continue.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. GMOs, like genetically modified organism, like corn, for instance. They have corn that is bigger, grows faster. Some maize, yeah. That's crazy, though. Like, I just wonder how far we will get into genetic modification before it becomes like, because it already, GMOs already are a hot button issue with people, you know.
But it's like these things where it's like, this is a new issue. We never thought of having to create rules for these issues because we didn't think these issues were around. But now that these issues are starting to, you know, prop up, we need to start talking about, you know, the realistic impact that they might have.
And another issue that will go alongside this one that we're, I think
we need to worry about AI.
I think AI is going to be something that we're going to see. Because I wonder if later in our life, there will start being the debate of like AI rights. Like, can this thing actually feel, because I do think it's possible to develop something complex enough where it actually feels,
but does it actually feel, or are you programming it to act like it feels?
But you could say the same thing about humans, right? Because we're programmed with DNA.
That's what I'm saying. That's the line. Like, where is the line? Like, is the line?
And that will be the debate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can talk right now, like, AI in video games. You can make AI stupid, and, like, it looks like they feel pain, but they don't feel pain. It's just code.
It's just, like, theatrics.
But, like, where does that change from theatrics to actually creating a legitimate living, not even being, I guess being, even if you are digital, that's a being.
Well, could you say
it has its own mind and makeup and
thoughts? Because right now life is defined by being made up of cells. Do you think that will ever, people will try to redefine that? To include computers as being alive? Because let's say that they do create something so advanced that is capable of feeling and thinking and determining right and wrong. In a way, it is alive. Like, it's living, right? But it's not living because it's not made up of cells. But in a way, it kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not made up of technical cells. I think that's interesting. And I wonder, I feel like in the future, it'll be an issue where, like, probably the left will be in support of AI rights and the right will be more against it. And it'll be that kind of debate. And we'll see that at presidential debates and stuff.
Because it is weird. Like, when you think of the theatrics of AI in video games or anything else, it's like when you, because AI essentially from that case, because I'm strictly thinking of video games, people are trying to improve AI in video games as it goes on and on and on. And I'm not saying AI in video games will transgress into it, like the AI that you're talking about, but just in a simple form of trying to understand it. AI is created in video games so that it will make the player work more and think more. Like, now, you know, AI usually would probably just shoot at a character's location. Over time, they've changed it to where AI will duck, AI will try to flank,
to get things for itself.
Yeah, it'll in some way try to impede the player by thinking on its feet at that instant. At what point is that thinking on its feet regarded as not theatric, but as human or as or as its own property? Because like your thought, you own your thoughts type of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Like the scary thing is AI can get to a point where it is far superior to humanity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it can think a million times faster, come up with correct answers a million times faster. So it's like,
well, it's that one, isn't it? Like it's when it gets to that point where like, that's where it's fucked.
There's a singular moment. That's the singularity,
climb,
right?
Climb, and then the singularity is just where it all.
Is that what it's called? The singularity,
loose.
The moment that it crosses.
It sounds cool. So let's just say it's called the singularity.
Hold on. I'm pretty sure that the moment itself is called the singularity, and it's supposed to happen by like 2045 or something. Technological singularity is a hypothetical point in time at which technological growth becomes uncontrollable and irreversible, resulting in unforeseeable changes to human civilization. So then the big question is, when do we, 2045 is the predicted year that the singularity will take place.
And that's where they think the AI will be like, who am I?
That's the point when it becomes past humanity, like when technology will suddenly pass humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So become like the next level of technology. 2045 is not that far away.
No, I mean, I'm thinking of like the difference in terms, I think we talked about this recently too, but the difference in terms of what we perceive is like future technology, because we're at this point of the technological revolution, are we really just at a plateaued point where all technology, we can kind of feasibly see where it's going? Because when you think about people like my grandmother, like why would they ever think of like who like was living in the 40s? Why would they ever think of iPads or Gmail?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the thing is
or I guess it's like mail that you could send through, because at that point it's like, what is the, you're not thinking of internet. You're not thinking of like, what if we could send this wirelessly? You don't know what wirelessly, but like
how does that work?
About? Yeah.
Because the thing is,
you can't comprehend it, or she wouldn't be able to comprehend it.
Our generation, the one you and I were born in, I think has witnessed the biggest technological explosion of any generation 100, 200 years prior.
Which is why in most schools, it's the students that are teaching their teachers how to use their smart boards.
Right. My
like
mom, is an elementary school teacher, and she'll tell me about some of her students and like what they're able to do on the computer and technologically. And I was like, bro, I was on Kids Picks and learning how to do Microsoft Word.
I know.
And then just thinking,
I remember in middle school, I was building websites and shit using HTML and all that. Mm-hmm. Like my parents wouldn't even know. They're like, HTML, what?
Kids are getting smarter, in the way that they're learning to utilize these tools at a younger age.
Yes.
And I think it's
not
crazy.
Necessarily becoming smarter as in more mature.
Yeah, but smarter as in like using tools to make life easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's crazy is just what I think everyone overlooks is the massive change in technology since we were 10 years old. When I think about your first cell phone, and I think about the iPhone 11.
Yeah.
I remember asking my dad, do you think we'll ever have phones that are like computers? And now look at this. It's one screen that you just touch things.
Well, I remember having one computer in the house. It was a tube monitor with, you know, mm-hmm. how loud the desktops were mm-hmm. and how slow the internet was. Now you look
at the phone at the
now
same
you look
time?
At this. It's crazy. The like people really, I think a lot of the times take their phone for granted.
It is the most, the smartphone is probably the most like revolutionary invention in terms of like a product, because now everybody has the entire internet, every single piece of information that they could ever need to access or imagine at their fingertips, no matter where they are. It's also like not even a matter of, oh, you have to be in a certain place. Like I can be driving down the highway and look up an archive of like mammoth genetics or some stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
It's like we have more access to more information than anybody else ever has in the history of mankind,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's crazy, I think, because that is taken for granted a lot. Just the incredible broadness of information that we have access to. Like just everything you can,
well,
like during this, I was able to look up all these different things about colors and singularity. And,
well, you remember there was that fight that our school systems were having in terms of the information that was now available to everyone in their homes. and or having, like when you had a book report, you would have to go to the library and check out several books, and hopefully these books would have the information you needed. But then all of a sudden Wikipedia came about, and yes, there were some problems with Wikipedia at the start in terms of trustfulness and all that. But there was also other places online which you could get this information. But teachers looked down on that information strictly because it was from the internet.
Yeah.
But you can understand why. But at the same time, now you're able to use the internet. And, you know, they – I think later in high school and then – it was kind of in high school where the school system started to adapt. Easy. And they were like, okay, this is how you add websites to your bibliography.
Do you remember that Wikipedia was like you could not – touch Wikipedia for any school projects a long time ago? Remember Wikipedia was like, nope, you cannot even, like, Wikipedia was regarded as
the, it was just all lies.
It was all lies, the worst source. And I personally see Wikipedia as one of the best sources for information.
Now, but if you remember when we were around elementary school, middle school, it was very debatable of like what information
Wikipedia
was
mods
sometimes.
Are intense.
Now it's good.
They have a good system. And of course,
you can still find
there's still
flaws.
Misinformation.
I mean, we proved that with our Star debacle because someone was able to change the actual
for a short period, but then look at what happened.
Yeah.
I think Wikipedia is incredibly trustworthy. Obviously, there is misinformation on there, but I think today in 2020, if I want to know something, Wikipedia is a great place to find it because it's literally...
Not only that, but I think teachers failed to realize that Wikipedia, as you were saying, like could be changed at an instant. Remember, we were saying, oh, they can correct that. If a book's wrong about something...
It's wrong. They'd have to republish a whole new version. And that's why you'll see books... think about this. The books that we had to use, for instance, the MLA
that we
handbook,
were forced to buy.
Yes. Forced to buy for $200. Like my college textbook would be like 13th version or like 14th version. And it's like, so they had to change stuff 14 times.
Yeah.
It's like, why am I paying $200 for something that's just going to get changed again?
I can't wait for all of those because eventually those books will, the internet, there's so much information out there and so much knowledge out there and about any subject that why do people need those books anymore?
I torrented a lot of my, which my dad was upset about, but I'm like,
shouldn't be upset about that. It's literally a ripoff.
He's like, the school's stealing. It's like, no,
what the
they're
school system has become
us.
It's eventually what school would become in a capitalist society.
Yes. Because it's like, you need this information to do well in this class and you have to pay for it. And a lot of the times, actually, the teachers have deals with
the
companies where they will get paid to make that book part of their. And I got to tell you, dude, all the books when I was in college that I had to pay for, which was textbooks, are like $400, $500.
Yeah, I remember not using
them. I barely used
them.
Exactly. Like maybe like the first week, it's like, well, read this page. And then it's like,
it's just because the schools and have a deal with the fucking publishers, probably.
If you are able to find your college textbooks free online, go for it. Because I think that college textbooks are the biggest fucking ripoff. You have to pay for information that you have to use.
I remember it became popular to like buy the used books because they were cheaper. Then all of a sudden they introduced the books you could download from the app onto like your iPad. But they're still so fucking expensive. At least when I was looking at books on the... on a electronic device. It's still
books.
Expensive.
I would share books with
like
friends.
It's no longer about, oh, this is so many pages and a hardcover that you have to put money into making, I guess. This is literally just data that you're selling to me for about the same price now.
I don't know how this is in other countries, but at least in America, that's how it is. And also what's stupid is like, you're already paying thousands of dollars to take the class.
Yeah.
Why the fuck? If I'm paying that much money to learn, why do I have to pay so much more to have access to something that is required?
If it's required, I
shouldn't have to pay for it.
I think the books in high school, in college, it should be like this. This is how it should work. The school buys the books they want to be used in their curriculum, and then the teachers pass out those books to their students, and the students don't eat any of that fucking cost. The school has more than enough
money. It's the school's job.
Through simply just tuition fees. The school has enough money to take that dent of letting you use books as
schools,
part of the curriculum.
The people that run the schools want to make money.
Yeah.
And what's fucked up is like the money is there for these books to be free, but it's not going to be because someone wants to make money off of it. And it's just
a business, you know?
It's a business. Yeah. And it should, you know, things like school, things like healthcare, like that stuff shouldn't be business. That should be like a fundamental thing because that is.
What about food? You think everyone deserves the right to have a free steak every day for dinner?
Yeah.
You know,
free steakums for all.
You know, if health's a right, food must be a right. Is water a right, Matt? Is water a right? Does the government have to supply you with water?
Water should be a right. Water, literally one of the things that you will die if you don't have it for 3 days. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes when I think about water being marketed and sold, it's like, who owns water? You know, it's a fucking...
Regardless, you're the only way you are getting free water is if you go to like an amusement park or Disney World and you ask for their little free cups of water because it is mandatory for them to give you water.
But I still gotta pay to get in.
Yes,
I guess I could go to a creek, drink myself a cup of water, but
you could use your own faucet. But I guess you still people pay could the argue though.
People could argue that the water you're drinking, you're paying for it's processed.
Yes.
It's convenient. I bought a water bottle this morning, so it's like I'm not trying to be like, oh, fuck water. I just think it's an interesting it's an interesting concept.
We can point out shit and be on the opposite side or same side of the argument.
Yeah, it's just interesting to think about. Because these are things that like a lot of people don't really think about. And I like coming on the podcast with you and just kind of like talking about
random bullshit.
Just like being aware of things, you know, even though like, yeah, I'm still going to probably buy another water bottle in the next week. I'm still going to pay my water bill. But I guess water bills make more sense because, you know, it's a service because it's actually going through pipes.
Well, like heating, like electricity. It is a service you are paying for. Like I doubt our district, you know, or any district really believes that people are going to generate their own electricity.
No, I got my own.
My neighbor.
I'm producing it myself.
Well, what pisses me off, what you were saying a second ago, is that my mom's a teacher. She gets paid from the time school hours begin to the time school hours end, which is like 8 a.m. to 2:30.
Yeah, but they're still grading papers and all that stuff.
Yeah, and my mom, I remember, my mom will usually end up working until she goes to bed. She'll stay like 2 hours after school to grade papers. Then she'll come home and grade more papers. She doesn't get paid for that. And she has to use her own money to buy supplies for the classroom. So markers and stuff.
Are the students paid for homework? This is time that the school has relegated that they spend on schoolwork when it's their personal time. Are they being paid, Matt? So I think your mom can take this bullet.
My mom has to spend hundreds of dollars every school year on like she has to get paper for the class. She has to get markers. Oh, she has to get calculators. And it's like
my friend,
she's not reimbursed for that.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Well, Gray has to do the same shit.
Yeah. And
Gray
sucks,
and Hayden.
What sucks is especially in South Carolina, in all of America, but especially South Carolina, teachers are viewed, they're so underpaid, and
it really
such a valuable job.
Yes, there are some teachers who do not take their job seriously, who do hide behind the safety net of what's it called? There's a word for it. It's like job security for the tenure. A lot of teachers will hide behind that. Not a lot, but some will. There are bad examples. But when you see like a teacher that, you know, actually takes the time to like buy the necessary materials for their students, like your mom, or people that buy or the teachers that buy the necessary materials to make their class maybe more a fun, engaging environment, like my friends Gray and Hayden, like you see like you see the cost that these people are giving to potentially better the future of our nation. And I know that's a broad stroke to be putting on what teachers do, but I do believe that
for sure,
you know, it's what adults are is essentially, you know, a mixture of nature and nurture. And I'd say school is there equal to that of the parents' time with that kid, and the school needs to take care of those kids.
Right. And my mom, for example, like she puts a lot of thought and actual energy because she wants to be a good teacher. Like for instance, like she had like a Fortnite themed classroom last year, and I love that because it's like she didn't have to, but it's like
Gray apparently had his solo and duo and like wins and would count up like as the school year went on just to be like, hey, these are how many wins I have on Fortnite. Do you guys have that many wins?
Yeah.
Gray's too good at Fortnite.
Gray's really good at Fortnite. I just hate seeing that my mom has done this for going on almost 30 years now. And, you know, the amount.
My stepmom is in the same, she used to teach third grade and she works in the educational.
Yeah, and it's just the benefits suck. They're so underpaid, and some places pay teachers better, but for instance, in South Carolina, it's shit.
I'm sure private school teachers are having a good time.
Oh, yeah. But the public school teachers, like my mother, like our friends Gray and Hayden, South Carolina has horrible public education funding, and it keeps getting stripped more and more, where they have to start stripping art programs and stuff. And that stuff's so important, I think, in a school. Like when they start stripping like music and art programs, it's like, what? So they can give the money to some other shit?
Sports versus the arts, right? Yeah. That's also a big. I remember in my school, I don't know if you ever had fights in between, but there were like legitimate faculty heated discussions and debate that spread throughout the whole school about like the dance team versus the cheerleading team, the newspaper staff versus the baseball team. Like, where's the funding going? How come these sports and these other activities get more funding than these lesser, quote unquote, lesser respected activities?
I guess what,
because in the South, art isn't as respected as
baseball,
good old football or baseball,
rugby,
cheerleading.
And it's frustrating.
Dance,
because
interpretive dance. That's gay. I want to see my underage daughter with all of her friends shaking her ass.
It sucks because the money.
No judgment, the cheerleaders.
There is the money, like, to fund all of this stuff with more than enough funding, but it doesn't get allocated to that.
Yeah,
you know? And it keeps getting cut.
But then there's the argument of the sports programs are also what bring a lot of money in for the school. When you think of the people that come to the football games or the baseball games that buy the snacks at the snack bar and stuff like that, or the t-shirts, it does bring them more money than the newspaper staff ever will. And so then the school goes, well, yeah, that's relegated. That should get more money. And maybe it should, but I don't think that should come at the cost of taking away certain avenues for young children to explore.
Yeah. That's just the education system in America is horrible, especially once you get to like universities and colleges.
I couldn't make a better one. I wouldn't even know where to start, but it sure needs to get better.
So, like, well, look at one of the 50 countries that does it better than us and maybe take a page out of their book. But that won't happen.
Well, no,
it's America.
It's also, you have to remember that, you know, the political system affects every other facet almost of society. Like, capitalism is ingrained in every facet of society in America.
Yeah.
That's like, just the way it is. In our medicine, in our education, in our mental health even, which is disgusting.
Did you see that? I saw this yesterday. Like, people were like, there's this big sign for like COVID testing, like to get COVID tested. And the whole thing was a Pepsi advertisement,
but it also said
COVID testing. It was like, what kind of dystopian hell are we living in?
Was that a tweet?
It was on Twitter and it was on Reddit.
Okay.
But it's just like the whole thing's a big Pepsi ad, but it's like COVID testing site brought to you by Pepsi.
Well, I'm actually surprised. Pepsi has always taken some interesting leaps forward with their advertising campaigns. Like
was it the Kylie Jenner commercial?
Yep, Kylie Jenner. And now this one, which is, I don't know if they're the first, but they're one of the first. I don't think I've seen a company jump quickly to associate with a deadly disease such as COVID. And I'm not saying they're trying to associate. They are promoting tests and stuff, but it is weird to see a Pepsi bottle next to the word COVID-19.
Well,
like, could you imagine seeing Coca-Cola next to malaria?
Make sure to get your malaria vaccine sponsored by Coca-Cola.
We're talking about it though, aren't we?
Yes.
We're talking about Pepsi right now and hundreds of thousands of people.
No, it works. It's marketing. But when you think of marketing, like, one of the first rules is to not associate with yourself with something that would make the target audience kind of dissuade them from, like, oh, when they think of Pepsi, they're going to think of COVID. But they're turning that on its head and they're just going, hey, we're trying to be helpful.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, guys, I think that's about all the time we got for this episode. Go pick out a favorite color. Go pet your computer.
And make sure to watch the Super Mega's number one favorite wrestling podcast, Getting It In Raw, with the Mucker Brothers.
The Mucker Brothers? That's the alternate versions of the Tucker Brothers.
I made them all up.
Something. I real quick about that. The ads, we're talking to our ad agency about, we did not know that many ads were getting put on our podcast.
On Spotify.
On Spotify, at least. YouTube is just going to be the actual ads that we record. But on our other versions on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, other ads are inserted after we record the podcast.
We give them time codes, and there's a specific number of ads allotted, blah, 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 blah.
But recently, it seems like that's been a lot higher.
There's a bit of a miscommunication between us and the ad read people, and we're
working it out. So we don't want you guys to be super off put by it.
Because we care about our Spotify listeners.
Yeah, I don't want our fucking podcast to just be like a million fucking ads.
Well, I want the people who, you know, supported us on Spotify, which was the lower fan base compared to YouTube for the longest time.
Now it's doing really well.
Yeah.
And also, that's kind of what advertisers base on is like Spotify and Apple listens. They don't really care that much about YouTube listens. So for us to actually get deals to bring in more money to support the company, it's like Spotify numbers are very important. And when people are getting turned off because too many ads are being inserted by a third party into our podcast, we don't want
that. There's a dance and a balance to be made.
Yeah, so we're working on that, and we appreciate you guys
sticking through it. It's all new. There's no evil, malevolent bad guy in this situation. Probably just comes down to misunderstanding, and we're figuring it out.
We appreciate the feedback. So thank you guys. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you can find the podcast, YouTube. It's all there. So thank you so much, and we'll see you guys next week for episode 195.
That's right. See you next time, little motherfuckers.
Bye.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.